right now. We're going to go down to Florida. Scott Miller, national baseball writer for BleacherReport.com, joins us on the Corky's Hotline. And Scotty, welcome. And where exactly do we find you in the grapefruit circuit?
Yeah, I've been all over this week. Monday I was in Tampa with the Yankees. Tuesday I was in Clearwater with the Phillies. Wednesday I drove over to Vieira and was with the Washington Nationals. Today I had a day you would love, knowing you and your love of baseball. Today I started in Tampa. I drove south and I saw the Rays and the Orioles, then continued south and saw the Red Sox Twins tonight. Met Tampa Bay manager Kevin Cash, chatted with him for a while this afternoon, had a nice talk with Buck Showalter, got down to Fort Myers, nice chat with Twins new manager Paul Molitor, good chat with Boston manager John Farrell, saw Tom Kelly, the old Twins manager, caught up with Torrey Hunter. I've kind of been all over the place.
Hey, did you talk to A-Rod?
I did not. I saw him walk in on Monday with a lime green golf shirt and saw him go 0-for-2 in an intra-squad game against the pitching machines. I've never seen that before. Joe Girardi on Monday, he had an intra-squad game, but there were no live pitchers. It was a pitching machine on the mound, which was really bizarre, but I did not. And then, thankfully, when A-Rod debuted yesterday...
You weren't there.
I was on my way to Vieira. And you know what I see? You know who I saw? Vieira. It's also been a big week for ex-Padres. I was really happy. I happened to be in Vieira to talk to a whole bunch of other people, but Tony Gwynn Jr. came in yesterday for the first time and, just kind of walked in, took his physical and came in. So had a real nice chat with him, real happy to see him get another chance. And there is an opportunity with the Nationals. Jason Worth had surgery over the winter, and they're not sure that he might not be ready until May. It looks like Tony Gwynn Jr. has a realistic chance to break camp with the team. We'll see. But Heath Bell's also in their camp. Talked to Heath for a while, and he's on a minor league contract. He's just trying to keep his head down and make the team. Talked to Chase Headley on Monday in Yankees camp. Chase, good conversation with him. He's said it's real. Basically, it's a bittersweet time for Chase. I mean, he's real happy. He really is enjoying his time with the Yankees. It's been a great experience for him. He said A-Rod has been cool with him so far. A lot of people thought A-Rod might, look at Chase as, hey, that's the guy that took my third base job. But, Chase said he talked to A-Rod on the phone a couple of times over the winter and that A-Rod's been good. I mentioned the word bittersweet with Chase Headley because, we talked a little bit about what's going on in San Diego with the Padres. And, he was like, obviously, he still has a lot of friends over there. And, he was just kind of shaking his head. He says, geez, I just wish they would have made some moves like that 2 or 3 years ago while I was still there. And, we talked a little bit about, one good thing that the Padres have going is, among other things, is they've got a whole bevy now of legitimate hitters and stars. And, when Chase was there, there was just so much pressure on him. There wasn't a lot of help around him. And then, when he didn't live up to everybody's expectations, I think he kind of felt the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Getting to know Chase over the years he was here and having a real good relationship with him. And I've talked to other players that are currently on the team that even last year they were very frustrated, and now everything hopefully has turned around. Scotty, did you talk to the managers about this edict about the pace of play and batters not being able to take more than 1 foot out of the batter's box after a pitch?
With Buck Showalter today a little bit about that, and, Buck was funny. His first reaction to the question was, I support the initiatives of the commissioner's office. Real funny like that, So you can tell Buck doesn't like his game being messed with. I don't get the impression Buck Showalter is on board with the clock in between innings and the batter's box stuff. And he quickly is. I always love talking to Buck Showalter. He is really intelligent. He always has interesting outlooks on the game. I never walk away without having learned something from Buck. He went from basically saying he thought that it was a bunch of hooey, this pace of game stuff. He said, have you gone to any high school games or high school practices lately? And I was there, and I said, I haven't, I have to say. He said, I'll tell you what, he said, the year I was at ESPN, I think he went to a high school, so his son might have been playing on the team, but when Buck was out of managing a couple years ago, he went to a high school, a couple practices, and he said, they got a pitcher on the mound, a hitter, and it's slow, and like they got 9 or 10 guys standing around waiting and waiting and waiting, and then the hitter's done, and one other guy gets to go in and bat. He says, they talk about wanting to get young people to play baseball. He said, we're worried about the pace of game. He said, how about the way we present our game to the younger people? He said, it's no wonder we're losing players to lacrosse and soccer and all these other sports. He said, you go to high school practices and, most of them guys are just standing around for 2 hours. He said, who wants to just stand in the outfield? I mean, made a funny motion, like in a slouched position. But his point was, I think he talked to the coach that particular year and he showed him some drills to run where, he had different
stations.
Drills and where, yeah, something like that, where people are busy rather than the pitcher throwing to the hitter and you got everybody else just standing around interminably.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to be taking ground balls in the infield. The outfielders ought to be working on getting jumps, and the pitcher should make sure they stay out of everybody's way in the outfield and not play pocket pool.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and that was his point. He said, he always, to me, offers a fresh outlook on things. And I thought, that he makes a good point. When he said, why do you think we're losing people to lacrosse and soccer?
Because baseball becomes boring. Practice can be boring if you don't have a coach that knows what he's doing.
That's the thing. So, yeah, to answer your initial question, I did talk to Buck a little bit today about the pace of game, and it quickly segued into that I just mapped out.
All right. Scott Miller joining us from Florida tonight. The Giants take a blow today with Hunter Pence breaking a forearm, going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. How much does that cripple Bruce Bochy's ball club?
Well, like most things, Coach, I think you don't look at things in a vacuum. And every move is related to other moves. And the first thing I thought of when I saw Hunter Pence had broken that arm is, I'm standing in Lee County Stadium in Fort Myers, Florida tonight, and I'm watching Pablo Sandoval play third base for the Boston Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing I thought of is, in and of itself, it's a blow to the Giants losing Hunter Pence for 6 to 8 weeks. But now you multiply it with losing Pablo Sandoval from last year's World Series championship team to the Red Sox. They tried hard this winter. They were all in on trying to get John Lester, and that didn't work out. And now they lose Hunter Pence. So, since winning that World Series last October, the Giants are on a bit of a losing streak.
Yeah, needless to say, let me ask you this. How does Pablo the Panda look in a Red Sox uniform, and how does he look body-wise?
I think that Twitter picture that made the rounds earlier this spring, that, it was from a weird angle, and it made him look really big, and, there was about a 24-hour controversy about is Pedro too fat. I mean, is Pablo too fat? I don't put any stock in it. I'll tell you what, another guy I talked to tonight for quite a while by the indoor batting cages at the Twins Complex was new Boston hitting coach Chili Davis.
Huh.
And we talked about Pablo, and Chili is just raving. I said, this guy, he works. He's always got a smile on his face. He brings great energy. He said, I don't care. He's not too big. He said, he talked to Hensley Mullins, Bam Bam Mullins, the Giants hitting coach. He said, we've known each other for a while, and I talked to him when we signed Pablo, and he said, the thing about Sandoval is this guy works and works and works, and Mullins told Chili Davis, what you're going to have to do at times, you're going to have to pull this guy out of the batting cage and say, that's enough. You've taken enough swings. And I found that very interesting. I mean, you know, anybody that's big like Panda is, you know, automatically what comes to mind? Well, he doesn't work hard enough, he's lazy, whatever. But I thought that was very insightful of Chili Davis saying that was the word. And he said, this guy is unbelievable the way he works. And he said he's going to have a huge year. He said that his swing is so built for Fenway Park. They can't wait to see him hit Fenway Park.
Well, you know, the other thing about Pablo Sandoval, and I always enjoyed watching him play against the Padres or, you know, watching a game on television. I mean, he's one of those guys that I think can connect with fans, and I think he can connect with little kids. And if he's in a prime marketing spot like Boston and has a big year, believe me, he can have a lot of influence on the younger generation, I think, because of his exuberance and that smile on his face.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And, you know, something else about him, you know, again, for all of as much knock as he takes about his weight, you know, you've watched him enough yourself, Coach. You know, I'm not saying this guy's a gold glover at third base, but he is way better defensively than people think. I mean, if you think, oh, he's chubby, and this guy, his feet and his hands are so quick. They're lightning quick. And, yeah, he's big through the middle. And, yeah, he's not going to win any sprints, but he's got great hands and feet, and he's pretty nimble at third base for a big guy.
Well, I'll leave it at this, and I'm going to let you get going. You know, on Sandoval, he hasn't won a gold glove, and he may not win a gold glove, but over the last couple of years, he's definitely put himself in the conversation. The problem is the last 2 years in the National League, there's a guy named Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, that guy can pick it a little bit, and you're right. You know, it's competitive for that gold glove at third base in the National League, especially when Nolan Arenado is. You know, he's got some ties to San Diego. He's got some relatives in North County.
Oh, Pablo Sandoval.
Oh no, he has some relatives in Vista, but Arenado.
Really?
I met. Long story, Brother Tim, last year, my wife she volunteered at the La Costa Film Festival in September. So we went down there on a couple of off nights from baseball and watched some movies. They were showing some, a lot of sports. They were showing some of those ESPN 30 on 30 movies. We went down and watched that, the El Duque, Levon and Orlando Hernandez. The ESPN did a 30 on 30 story on them, you know, leaving Cuba and, of course, Levon pitching for the Marlins and winning a World Series in El Duque. And it was very, very well done. But anyway, yeah, it was like so a lady that was in charge or one of the big shots of that La Costa Film Festival was like, I want to say it's Nolan Arenado's aunt, maybe.
Okay, well, hey.
We talked about him, yeah.
You know, that's good to know because I think he's under control to the Rockies about four more years, and that would put him at about 27, 28, right in the prime of his career, and maybe the Padres can make a free agent offer to him. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm always trying to help the home ball club, Scotty.
And you're thinking like an executive, as you always do.
Hey, my friend, thanks so much. We'll look forward to catching up with you here real soon.
Sounds good, Coach.
There you go. Scott Miller joining us from the Grapefruit Circuit down there in Florida.